Welcome to the Bicycling Podcast. Our first series, How to Climb Like a Boss, is designed to help you climb like a mountain goat, or at least to get you to the top of a hill before your mates, unless, of course, they're listening to this podcast too. In this four-part series, we look at mental approach, power-to-weight ratio, techniques and tips, and the role of weight in climbing. And yes, we ask if banting is all that. Joining me, Jonathan Anser, and bicycling editor Mike Finch, is a man who can help you climb like a boss. Cycling guru Dr. Jeroen Swart is a sports physician, exercise physiologist at the Sports Science Institute, and bicycling scientific editor. Oh, and his list of Strava King of the Mountains shows that he doesn't climb like a boss, he climbs like a god. Welcome to part 3 of How to Climb Like a Boss. If you missed part 1 and part 2, you can find them on the bicycling website. So you're heading up the climb, but you're not sure whether to stand or stay seated. And what gear should you be in when you hit the climb? And what the hell should your cadence be? Here are some tips to help you defy the law of physics. Getting up a hill is, of course, fighting gravity. Your legs ache, your heart thumps inside your chest. But you don't have to journey deep into your soul to get to the top. Jeroen, how do you train to climb better?
There are quite a few drills that you can actually incorporate into your training. And climbing well means producing good power and producing that power efficiently. And the first component of power is force, in other words, strength. And so actually improving your strength on the bike is a big factor and in terms of all-around performance, but also particularly in climbing. And so the kinds of things you want to do is strength drills on the bike or low-cadence drills where you go and find a climb, and we vary them in duration from as short as 4 minutes up to as long as 10 minutes, not much longer because they're very difficult. And you engage a relatively hard gear, not so hard that you can't, you know, that the effort is very high, but that you ride at a very low cadence so that there's a lot of force being produced through the legs. And that also allows you to contract those muscles and coordinate that contraction. If you're riding at a high cadence, you struggle to activate the muscles that you don't normally use. So if you're a novice to cycling, you're going to be using your quadriceps a lot. Yeah. And those low cadence drills allow you to focus on recruiting the hamstrings and recruiting the gluteal muscles and actually powering all the way around the pedal stroke. They really do hurt after 2-3 minutes. I mean, it feels like you're going to tear your hamstring. But, you know, a couple of those sessions and the force component gets much, much better. The second part is then taking that force and applying it efficiently. And that means doing exactly the opposite, riding climbs at a very high cadence. And that allows the neurological mechanisms that control the pedaling stroke to improve so that you have a very coordinated pedal stroke so that you're not working against yourself, you know, at the bottom of your pedal stroke or at the top of the pedal stroke when muscles that should be turning or have turned off already are still active and vice versa. So combination of high cadence drills, low cadence resistance drills will do a lot to improve your climbing.
And what about sitting and standing? Is there a rule?
Yeah, it depends on how long you've been riding for. So the research that was initially conducted was done on novice cyclists, and that actually showed that novice cyclists have about a 3% lower efficiency when they stand versus when they sit. And so everybody thought that standing was inefficient.
Yeah.
But then you watch the Tour de France, and if you watch the Tour de France in the last decade, Richard Virenque is a prime example. Yeah. And the man never sat down on his saddle ever, and yet he won the King of the Mountains jersey. I can't even remember. Is it 7 times? And he won numerous stages. Okay, he may have well been doped as well, but at the same time, on a level playing field of doping, he did better.
Yeah.
And so subsequent research studies actually showed that the professional cyclists have just as efficient standing technique as they do seated technique. So standing and climbing is one of those things that you've got to actually develop as a cyclist. And staying relaxed, if you look at a novice cyclist when they stand up, they hold their upper body rigid and their arms rigid and the bike stays perfectly upright. And then you watch a professional cyclist and you'll see that the bike falls from side to side during every pedal stroke. And what they're doing there is they're just using their weight to push the pedal down during the downward phase of the pedaling action and then transferring their weight to the other side. And it makes it a very, very efficient action. It's almost like walking up a flight of stairs.
Yeah.
And when they engage the right gear, they can continue that motion indefinitely. And so you've got to practice that technique.
But there's, there's also a physiological transfer of, there's the whole talk about lactic acid being transferred when you're standing as well, isn't there?
That's something, yes, that's something that we've actually cottoned onto quite recently, is that if you've got muscles that aren't working very hard, they actually will take up lactate as a fuel, because it's actually quite a useful fuel. And so standing can also allow your upper body to work at a low intensity, and that can actually suck up some of the lactate that's being produced by your legs. And as a result, you can actually go at a higher intensity. Mm. So you'll see in the cross-country mountain bikers, guys like Nino Schurter, when they hit those climbs, they'll use their upper body a lot. And we actually discovered this through cross-country skiers. So cross-country skiers use a poling action, which allows their upper body to do some work, and it sucks up some of the lactate that's being produced from their legs, which are working at almost maximal intensity. So they're actually quite a few factors, and that's a very recent discovery, that one, that shows that standing is actually something you want to work on.
Yeah. I've seen on Strava that you've got the king of the mountain for that brutal Price Drive climb and also for the Rhodes Memorial single track, that the uphill there. What is the difference between training a mountain bike and training road? And are there techniques that you should develop for both of those?
Definitely. The road cycling, I think the easiest analogy is comparing, for instance, a four-wheel drive car versus a top motorsport car like a Formula One car. In a road situation, you're producing a lot of power through speed. So in other words, at a high cadence. Whereas on an off-road climb, a lot of the power is being produced by force. And that's why a mountain bike has a longer crank arm. So mountain bikes generally have about a 2.5 to 5 millimeter longer crank arm. And that allows you to produce more torque, just like a diesel engine would. Bigger cylinders, the longer lever arm lets you produce more force as a part of the power instead of the speed equation. And that allows you also to control that force a lot better, and it produces better traction on rough terrain. So mountain bikers are very force dominant and also have a very efficient pedal stroke. Because they have to ride at a slower cadence and use a longer lever, they have to control the torque all the way around the pedal stroke. And so if we look at the research conducted on mountain bikers versus road riders, the mountain bikers actually have a better pedaling efficiency, but the road riders ride at a higher cadence. So they look like they're pedaling more efficiently, but it's just because they're using a higher speed.
Does that mean that if you're a mountain biker, you have to accept that you will especially have a rough climbs that require like very steep climbs, that you're going to actually be, it's better to cycle at a slightly lower cadence than it would be to try and spin?
Yes, it is. Okay. If you try and spin up those climbs, you'll produce less traction on the rear wheel. So you can't get over the little loose sandy bits and gravelly pieces. And when it comes to rough terrain where, for instance, there are rocks in the way, if you're spinning at a high cadence, you can't control when the bottom of your pedal stroke occurs on whatever side. And so you can't suddenly slow down the cadence or back pedal half a pedal stroke and then continue pedaling. You'll invariably end up smashing into the rock, because the time it takes to cross the rock is almost as long as a pedal stroke. Whereas if you're riding at a lower cadence, you can control that much better.
So, now, I mean, one of the hardest things, of course, is climbing up on a mountain biking track out of the saddle. I've seen a couple of people do it, but I don't really get how you do that, because if I do that, my back wheel is just slipping out almost uncontrollably. I mean, what is the technique for doing that?
It's once again one of those techniques that you've got to practice. And what's happening there is the guys who are standing up are placing their center of gravity in the same position as it would be if they were sitting down. But they're doing that
in further back, basically.
Yeah, so you've got to bend your arms, you've got to get low down, and if you look at where their, for instance, their hips are relative to if you stood on a road bike, it's much further back. So it maintains some weight on the rear wheel, some of the front wheel to stop the front wheel lifting, and essentially keeping that exact balance.
So even being low on the bars and your body down actually helps with that center of gravity.
It does.
Oh, okay. I'll try that tomorrow.
Great. Are there any other tips that you can give us for climbing?
I think practice makes perfect. So if there's a particular climb that you're fearing, go out and ride that climb repeatedly.
Yeah.
One thing that we've learned about the brain's control of exercise is that the more familiar you are with a particular terrain or with a particular climb, the more the brain will release the handbrake and allow you to actually go a little bit faster. And that's because it knows exactly how much energy you're going to expend on that effort. And so it doesn't need to keep as much in reserve for unforeseen circumstances. So familiarity is very important.
Yeah.
And then do the drills and go out there and don't fear failure. That's another thing. The worst case scenario is if you go too hard, you blow up, you've got to slow down, and you've got to actually just crawl up the rest of the climb. But you'll never know how hard you can go maximally up a climb until you actually try it.
And just tell us a little bit about the activating of those big muscles. I mean, you talked earlier about quads being a novice. Novices use their quads mainly. Hmm. So then you're saying that experts then, or more experienced cyclists then, use their glutes and their hamstrings more. How do they do that?
So they do that by doing those drills and recruiting them, and also just because of
the slow cadence drills.
But also the longer you've been participating in cycling, the more you'll utilize your glutes and your hamstrings as a muscle, as muscle groups. The upside of that is that you're spreading the work over multiple muscle groups. So each muscle does less work over the long term, so there's less fatigue inherent in that particular muscle. Mm. The downside of that is that actually it's less efficient from an oxygen cost to utilize other muscles. And so what will happen is if you're riding a sequence of climbs and you want to get to the final climb as fresh as possible, then you want to be sitting far back on the saddle, utilizing the glutes and the hamstrings and spinning at a high cadence, which is also more efficient in terms of glycogen supplies of those muscles. But when it really comes to crunch time and the attacks are happening and you've got to go as fast as you can, then it becomes more efficient to ride at a lower cadence and sitting further forward and using the quadriceps. Mm. Because the quadriceps are, in terms of the amount of force they produce on the pedal for oxygen cost, the most economical muscles. And that's why professional cyclists used to refer to when it was crunch time, just sitting on the rivet. Old saddles used to have a rivet that kept the leather in place. So they would fold the leather over the saddle and hold it in place with a rivet right at the front.
Oh, yeah.
And that's exactly where they would sit. So when the chips are down, you've got to sit further forward. But when you want to be saving energy for later in a race or a stage, for instance, you want to be sitting further back.
So it literally is, I'm really interested to know how you sit further back. Literally about pushing yourself further back in the seat and feeling, do you feel those glutes and hamstrings working more then? How do you know that you're recruiting them properly?
If you sit further back on the saddle, you will feel them.
Yeah.
You've obviously got to have a good setup. So it's important to be set up in a position where you can sit on the supported areas of the saddle and activate all of those muscles.
Yeah.
And then when it comes to moving further, it's easy to move further forward on a saddle than to sit further back.
Yeah.
And so you want your default position to be the one where you're recruiting all those muscles. And then when you really want to go as hard as you can, you want to slide forward on the saddle. And although it's a little bit uncomfortable, when it comes to those few minutes or those few seconds that you've got to do that, that's what you accept.
Yeah.
So add this to your mental checklist. Do hill drills. Find a hill and go up and down it, and up and down it. Get into an easy climbing rhythm. You're not a politician, so don't spin too much. Produce power efficiently, so improve strength by doing low cadence drills. Apply force efficiently. Ride climbs at a high cadence. Practice your standing while you climb. If you fear a climb, go and ride it repeatedly. And don't fear failure. When the chips are down, sit on the rivet.